Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I can see a lot of our youngsters against the walls. If everyone can just come forward, inshallah. We're going to have a presentation, so you won't be able to see the slides from so far back. So everyone come all the way forward, please. Especially our Senatain boys, wherever you are, all of you, inshallah, come forward. Everyone come to the front, inshallah. Okay, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, nahmaduhu wa nusalli wa nusallimu ala rasulihil kareem, amma ba'd. So alhamdulillah, my dear respected brothers and elders, today we have gathered in the masjid for a very important purpose, very important reason. We're all here to learn about the rules and regulations of fasting in the month of Ramadan. It's very important that the blessed month of Ramadan is starting from next week, inshallah. So it's very, very important that we familiarize ourselves and we learn all of the rules and regulations so that we don't make any mistakes in our fasts and our fasting is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, the month of Ramadan is the greatest month in the whole year. And one of the reasons for its greatness is because of this action of fasting that we will be doing for 30 days throughout the month of Ramadan. So it's very, very important that our fasting is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it can only be accepted if we are following all the rules and regulations and making sure that no mistakes are taking place. So alhamdulillah, this is the reason why we are present here today. So we're going to have, inshallah, a short presentation which will take place. Hamza, just put the thing on a chair. And just So inshallah, while we get set up, we'll start this gathering with some recitation of the Holy Quran. So can I call Hafiz Abu Bakr forward to come and start the recitation with the Tilawat of the Quran? I come with the laptop. You can angle that a bit higher, isn't it? Yeah. Can I do this? Whether you're good or resign here.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب عليكم من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات فمن كان منكم مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر وعلى الذين يطيقونه فدية طعام مسكين فمن تطوع خيرا فهو خير له وَإِن تَصُومُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانُ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنُ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانُ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنُ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون صدق الله العظيم.
Inshallah, Jazakallah, Inshallah. Allah Ta'ala grant him more barakah, Allah Ta'ala grant him the ability to connect with the Qur'an, bond with the Qur'an. May Allah Ta'ala increase him in his hifz and his memorization of the Qur'an. Inshallah, it's obviously quite nerve-wracking to come in front of everyone and recite the Qur'an. So of course it is, mashallah, takes a lot of confidence. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala accept. So Inshallah, without any further ado, I don't want to take too much time doing it because obviously this presentation is about roughly an hour long, so inshallah we'll make a start. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كلامه المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected brothers and elders and my young friends and my sister, mothers and sisters listening live and upstairs, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah, we'll go through this presentation that we've got prepared of the fiqh of fasting, the rules and regulations of fasting. So obviously this is not extremely detailed and it doesn't have every single thing, every single small question that you can possibly have about fasting. So we'll go through the main points inshallah, and then if anyone has any questions afterwards, feel free to ask. Any point in time if you feel that, you know what, something has been mentioned, I've got a question, especially our young boys at the back, mashallah, all our students, if you have any questions, guys, just put your hands up and you can ask. Sisters upstairs, I think if Shama is upstairs or Sister Taslima or if anyone else is upstairs, if any sisters have any questions, feel free to pass on your questions to Shama or Sister Taslima or anyone else from our students or our colleagues who are upstairs, and they can send the question downstairs inshallah and we'll get that answered. So without any further ado, we'll make a start inshallah. So Ramadan, now the month of Ramadan is blessed for many different reasons. And one of the greatest reasons Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. The holy month of Ramadan is very auspicious, very blessed, very mubarak, because Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala revealed the holy Quran inside of this month. And therefore there's a very great connection between the month of Ramadan and between the tilawa and the recitation of the holy Quran. That's why it's very important that not only do we strive and try and fast in the month of Ramadan, but we also try and develop a relationship with the Quran inside of the month of Ramadan. Because there's no better month for it. The month of Ramadan. Therefore, alhamdulillah, this year, mashallah, our respected Imam Sahib, Mar Abdul Karim Shah Sahib, he always has his Quran tafsir and his dars of Quran, his lessons of Quran, which take place in Urdu on Friday and Saturday. So this Ramadan, inshallah, we will start our lessons of tafsir in English as well. So we will start those on a Wednesday, inshallah. We will be sending out the timetable soon of the programs in the month of Ramadan. So we should start building our relationship and connection with the Quran. Tilawat of Quran is very important. But not just tilawat of Quran, recitation of Quran, but also tadabbur of the Quran, reflecting upon the Quran. The Quran was not revealed just for the sake of tilawa. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, وَالَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ. And then Allah Ta'ala mentions that one of the purposes of sending prophets is that يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. One of the greatest aspects of the Quran is to recite it, tilawa. It's very important. You get a lot of reward doing so. And another very important aspect of this Qur'an which Allah has given is to ponder and reflect over the Qur'an. So in the Qur'an Allah Ta'ala mentions, أَفَلَا Hamza, you see these water bottles in there, please. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. What is wrong with these people? Allah Ta'ala is addressing us. What is wrong with these people? Why do they not reflect, ponder over the Qur'an? Quran, recite the Quran and reflect that what is Allah trying to say to me? Am ala qulubin aqfaluha, or do their hearts, are their hearts locked? That their hearts just cannot understand or accept the meanings of the Quran? Has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a lock upon their hearts? So this reflecting, pondering over the Quran is very important. Imagine the Quran is a letter, it's like a letter. Imagine our mashallah King Charles now. So King Charles writes us a letter, dear residents of Ashton-under-Lyne, and he addresses us with his very wise words. So now everybody gets together and we get our most knowledgeable people to read it and understand it, because mashallah our King Charles has very good English. So everybody is trying to, intellectual people are trying to understand it and trying to explain to everyone what is King Charles trying to say. It's a very important message. He's talking directly to the people of Ashton-under-Lyne. The Quran is a letter from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Alameen, the King of all kings. And it's a letter directly addressed to you and I. Allah is directly speaking to you and I. So we need to think, ya Allah ta'ala, we say, kya irshad farmai? What is Allah ta'ala saying to me? If I'm just going to spend my life just doing tilawat, never even thinking, ya, what is Allah really saying to me? So therefore it's very important, the month of Ramadan, in a month in which we try and unlock the secrets of the Qur'an, build this relationship with the Qur'an. So the first point in this ayah. And then, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ الَّذِي أُنْزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنُ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ. And then Allah Ta'ala mentions, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ. Whomsoever finds this month of Ramadan, they must fast, they have to fast. Fasting has been made, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah Ta'ala mentions that fasting has been made fard upon you, necessary upon you. Every single man, woman and child who has reached the age of puberty must fast in this month of Ramadan. There are no exceptions. Regardless of if you have reached the age of puberty, 14 years old, 15 years old, 16 years old, you cannot miss any fasts. It's very embarrassing and very shocking when you find Muslims, grown men, married and with children. We were working in a certain workplace, and I was working with a brother who has married, his children are all 15, 16, 17 years old, and he was eating through the month of Ramadan. MashaAllah, they have the break time, so he's going to the canteen, getting his fish and chips, and MashaAllah, all his food. So obviously we were a bit shocked. And I said, brother, you know, it's Ramadan, why are you eating? I thought he'll give me some kind of excuse, you know, he's got some kind of illness or something. He said, I'm just going to give, it's too hard, I'm just going to give some, in Bangla, he said, Ruzarbade sodka dilaymo, zakat dilaymo. That after Ramadan, I'm just going to give some money. If I give some money after the month of Ramadan, that's it, my fast is done. But this is so dangerous, it's not a joke. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes salah, namaz, fard upon us, fasting, sawm, fard upon us, we can't just say, oh, I can't be bothered. I'll just do something else, Allah will be happy. I'll just go climb up Mount Everest and for charity. Allah will be happy. Allah will forgive all of my missed salah. Allah will forgive all of my missed fasts. I'll do some other charity work in, you know, I'll just feed people in Ramadan and that's it, it's fine. No, this is something Allah Ta'ala does not want us to do other things. Allah wants us to listen to Him and obey Him. So this fasting is fard in the month of Ramadan. So inshallah we'll go through the slides. What is fasting? The Arabic word for fasting is sawm. Let's see if it's connected upstairs. Can they see? Shama, if you're upstairs, or anyone else, any of the sisters who have my number, if you could just mention, or anyone who has any numbers of the brothers, if you could just mention downstairs if you can see the slides, please, on the screen. So this Arabic word for fasting is sawm. Sawm. We call it fasting, and the word fasting is a bit misleading. Fasting sounds like in English you're going fast. But it's called sawm. And the literal meaning of sawm is to abstain from something, refrain from something. So why is the word sawm being used? Because firstly, we need to abstain from food and drink. We cannot eat or drink anything from dawn till dusk, from morning till evening. We cannot eat or drink anything. And thirdly, we cannot, husband and wife who are married, cannot engage in marital relations. So they cannot do that. So these three things are forbidden when a person is fasting, and that's why it's called imsak. Okay, alhamdulillah, they can see it's light. So this is why we're abstaining from those three things. Also, the pious scholars mentioned that you're not just abstaining from food, drink, and intercourse or marital relations. Rather, on top of that, you abstain from all forms of haram actions. Month of Ramadan is a month of purity. It's a month where a person purifies himself or herself. That we stop sin. All of the bad habits that I had throughout the year, in this month of Ramadan, I need to make the firm intention, okay, I am going to eradicate them, I'm going to remove them. So we have to make this intention, that in this month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives everybody. Very wretched is that person, very unfortunate, very despicable is that person who finds the month of Ramadan and Allah ta'ala does not forgive him in that month. Allah ta'ala make us from those people. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was climbing on top of the pulpit and he said Ameen three times, the famous hadith. And the Sahaba, they later asked, Ya Rasulullah, why did you say Ameen three times? One of the reasons or one of the steps upon which Rasulullah ascended and he said Ameen was when the angel Jibreel alayhi salam said to him, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's la'na, May Allah's curse, may Allah's la'na be upon someone who finds the month of Ramadan and still cannot be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That it's almost impossible. Allah's rahmah is in josh, like they say in Urdu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah is in full swing. Everybody can benefit and partake of this rahmah. If you have not, then unfortunately you are very wretched indeed. So that's why we need to stop all of our bad habits. Starting from the sins of the eyes, looking at the wrong things, the sins of the hands, the sins of the tongue, talking about bad things, swearing at people, arguing with people, lying, backbiting about people, talking about people bad behind their backs. All of these actions we need to stop in the month of Ramadan. And not just stop for Ramadan, but stop them in a way that permanently, like a surgeon removes the illnesses, we totally remove those illnesses so that they do not continue throughout the year. So fasting literally means to abstain. In terms of Sharia, meaning in terms of Islamic law, it means to abstain from food, drink and intercourse from dawn till dusk, sunset. Dawn till sunset. And with the intention of gaining proximity to Allah Ta'ala, with the intention of becoming close to Allah, pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why in the hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, مَنْ صَامَ رَمَضَانَ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. Whomsoever fasts in the month of Ramadan, firstly with iman. You have to have iman. You know, if a non-Muslim says, you know what, my Muslim colleague is fasting in the month of Ramadan, so I'm just going to join them and I'm just going to see, maybe I'll benefit. So they're not going to get any reward for it. You have to have iman to, first of all, be given any form of reward. And secondly, ihtisaban. Ihtisab means that you hope that Allah Ta'ala gives you reward. It's very important. Whenever we do any amal, any action, we have to have the intention of ihtisab. That I'm doing this action so that Allah Ta'ala rewards me. Allah Ta'ala gives me ajr. Allah Ta'ala gives me reward. This is called ihtisab. It's very important. Many times we do good deeds, but we are blank. Our mind is absent. So we're not going to benefit as much. But when a person does a deed with the hope that, oh Allah, I've done the effort, now the reward is in your hands and you should reward me. So this is the intention we must have. Who has to fast in the month of Ramadan? Fasting in the month of Ramadan is obligatory on every adult, male or female, who is physically and mentally healthy and is not a traveler. Every adult. Adult is anyone who has reached the age of puberty. Any boy or girl who has reached the age of puberty, boys reach the age of puberty after having some kind of wet dream or the signs of puberty are shown, and girls reach the age of puberty after their monthly period, their menstrual cycle starts. You are now baligh in the sight of Allah, you are now an adult, you are accountable. If you now meet those conditions that I mentioned, as a boy or a girl, and you still are not performing your salah, you still are careless about fasting in the month of Ramadan, remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to punish us for this. We have to be very, very, very careful. I can't just say, oh, I'm only 15, I'm only 16. You are now an adult in the sight of Allah. If Allah protect all of us and Allah give you all long health, if for some reason we pass away the year after or the year after that, we pass away at the age of 16, 17, 18, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask me about everything I did from the time I reached the age of puberty. It's very, very important. So you have to be an adult, meaning someone who has reached the age of puberty, who is physically and mentally healthy. Physically healthy, meaning they don't have any illnesses that will stop them from fasting. Not these fake illnesses. MashaAllah, people always, I feel towards the month of Ramadan, people are phoning me, asking questions, oh, you know, I have this illness and that illness, and someone said to talk to you, see whether I don't have to fast. And then it's not, people have been fasting for many years, say, I've never fasted, I'm now in my 30s, you know, first I've missed many years of fasting, and now I've got diabetes, and now what do I do? You never fasted, Allah Ta'ala never gave you tawfiq, and now Allah has given you an illness, so you can never fast. Look at the situation that this bichara is in. So I said, look brother, I don't know your real situation. If you've never fasted your whole life, then what do I have to go off? I don't want to say, okay, first half of your life, you didn't fast because of you, and the second half of your life, you didn't fast because of me. That you can say to Allah, oh Allah, he said I don't have to do it, so I'm not doing it. So people invent their illnesses. If someone actually has a serious illness, that fasting is going to cause significant or any form of damage to their health, it doesn't even have to be significant damage. Any form of harm to our health, we don't have to fast in the month of Ramadan. However, the scholars always mention that a Muslim doctor must tell you, a Muslim doctor, because a non-Muslim doctor, look at these GPs nowadays, and you go to the hospital, they say, oh, you don't have to do this. Very easily, they will just say, you don't have to fast, don't fast. You've got nothing wrong, he's, I've got back pain. Don't fast in Ramadan, it'll be bad for you. I can't sleep at night, don't fast in, you shouldn't fast in Ramadan, it's going to be bad for you. They'll just for any reason say don't fast. Non-Muslim, because he or she doesn't understand the importance of Ramadan. A Muslim, like one of our senior scholars in Bradford, Dr. Rafaqat Rashid, he's been working as a GP for many, many years. So he's very strict about this point. Don't go to non-Muslim GPs and non-Muslim doctors and then just say, the doctor said I don't have to fast, so I'm not fasting. Non-Muslim doctor over nothing. Absolutely nothing. We'll just say you don't have to fast, it's okay, you know, you can just mashallah relax and eat your biryani and your chicken kurma and your chicken pilau. Okay? But a Muslim doctor will take the fasting seriously and say, look, you can do it, but maybe do this, maybe do that. He'll give you some tips around it that look, it'll be a bit difficult for you, but inshallah you'll be able to do it. Muslim doctor will, he knows that fasting is the most important thing for you right now. Not just, you know, small health issues. We're not talking about big health issues, we're talking about small health issues. Right? So the doctor will take that very seriously. So only if a Muslim doctor signs off that, you know what, it's okay, fasting is actually going to be very burdensome, very difficult for you, then we are excused, otherwise we're not excused. Mentally healthy, a person has to be sane. It's the same with salah, it's the same with zakat, same with hajj, same with fasting. A person has to be in their senses. They can't have mental illness. If a person has mental illness, fasting is not fard on them because they're going to make lots of mistakes. They won't even know they made a mistake. They'll be eating. They might not even remember they ate. Similarly, namaz is not fard on them if the person is mentally insane. If we know anyone who has any kind of mental illness, diagnosed mental illness, right, we shouldn't force them, you have to read namaz now, you have to do this now. Because the person, as long as the person says they're a Muslim, they believe in Allah, it's okay. Because they're going to stand on to read namaz, they might pass wind, they might go to the toilet, they might forget they've gone to the toilet, they might not have wudu. So it's, therefore, Sharia, Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it very relaxed, very easy for them. They don't have to. These obligations are not necessary for them. And is not a traveler. Meaning someone who is traveling. Traveling refers to the Shari'i Islamic distance of travel. Islamic distance of travel, again there's two opinions, but the most cautious opinion is 52 miles. A person who is traveling over 52 miles is a musafir, a traveler. So anyone who is traveling over 52 miles, so many scholars say 48 miles, some say 49 miles, but 52 miles is the most cautious kind of opinion, that if you're traveling over 52 miles, you are a musafir, a traveler, fasting is not necessary upon you. But remember, there's caveats here. If someone has set off from their house, so they start the day and they are muqeem, meaning they are at home, they have not started their travel, then it's necessary for them to start their fast. Now when they start traveling and they become musafir, if the fasting becomes hard for them, they are allowed to break it and it will just be qada and it will not be kafara. What is this qada, what is kafara? I will come to that. Qada is a lesser evil, you can say, and kafara is a greater evil, but we'll get to that inshallah. It's not always evil. You started your day at home, now you made the intention to travel, and now you're traveling, so now if fasting becomes too difficult for you, you can break it, you will have to just do qada after Ramadan. But if you can still fast, mashallah, nowadays first class seats and comfortable cars and all of these things, many times it's okay, we can actually do it. So if a person can do it, then they should do it, so they still benefit from the month of Ramadan. Remember, in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that one fast of Ramadan which is missed. This hadith is a little bit weak, however we can still understand the seriousness and importance. One fast of Ramadan, if we miss it, we cannot compensate for it, we cannot make up for it by fasting an entire lifetime. One fast of Ramadan is so precious, so special, so important, has so much virtue, that if you miss it, whether it's on purpose or whether it's for a valid reason, the fasting for your entire lifetime, optional fast, cannot make up the reward that could have been achieved in that one fast. So whenever we still have the strength and we can't fast, Islam has given us an excuse and leeway, we should always try and fast if it is physically possible for us. I didn't mention all the rules about travelling, I know consciously, but there's no point just throwing out lots of rules and regulations. If anyone has a question anytime, feel free to inshallah ask. Okay, it's very important to make the intention. Intention is extremely important in fasting, as it is in salah as well. Without intention, your namaz is not done. If someone comes to Maghrib namaz, Maghrib salah, and has the intention of reading Asr namaz, then is the Maghrib namaz going to be done? No, you have to have the right intention for the right salah. Similarly, fasting in the month of Ramadan is not done without niyyah. You have to have niyyah.
And how does niyyah happen? Where does a person make niyyah and intention from? Inshallah. Speaking to myself, inshallah. Where does a person make intention from? Where? Go on, Bilal. Sorry? What's the place of... Say it again. But in terms of your physical anatomy or your mind or your tongue, where is the intention made? Muhammad? In your mouth. In the heart. Niyyah is in the heart. Niyyah has nothing to do with mouth. Niyyah and speaking is something different. Niyyah, niyyatun means intention. Intention is just something a person makes in the mind. I made an intention to go for Hajj. I made an intention to go for Umrah. I've made an intention to give some money in charity. It's got nothing to do with my mouth. It's just something in my mind. So this is very important. That this intention, this niyyah, is made in the mind. This is necessary. Without making an intention in the mind, your fast will not be done. Intention with the mouth is okay if it helps us focus, but it's not necessary. You know, people, there's this intention, نَوَيْتُ أَنْ أَصُومَ غَدًا مِنْ شَهْرِ رَمَضَانَ الْمُبَارَكِ فَرْضًا لَكَ يَا اللَّهُ فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنِّي إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Very nice and long niyyah. This is not necessary. It's not even sunnah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't even teach this niyyah with your mouth. But if someone makes it because it helps you focus and do tawajjuh, then no problem. But where the niyyah should happen is in the heart. That I made an intention to fast tomorrow. So when is the intention made? General principle, intention has to be made before each fast for it to count. That you have to make intention every single day of Ramadan. If someone makes one intention before Ramadan, okay, this Ramadan I'm going to fast every day. That's not enough. Every day you have to renew your niyyah. Someone says, well, I in my whole life I've never thought about making a new intention every day. Look, it's not such a deep issue. As long as you have it in your mind, kemakal roza rakhaun, tomorrow I'm fasting for Ramadan, that's your intention done. It's not something that you have to sit there and say, okay, I've been very busy today, I've not had the chance to sit down and really make a niyyah. It's not like that. As long as in your heart you think, I'm fasting tomorrow, Ramadan fast, I'm fasting tomorrow, that's your niyyah done. But if someone doesn't have that niyyah, what's a possible way that someone doesn't have that niyyah? Go on, Faisal. Sorry? For example, specifically they say, let's say this person is a good person. Let's say this person is not someone making a mistake. This person is a good person. He thinks, I'm not feeling very well today. I'm feeling very unwell and the doctor has given me permission, Muslim doctor has given me permission, I don't have to fast. Muslim doctor has given me permission, I don't have to fast. So you know what? I'm not sure if I'll fast tomorrow, or should I fast, should I not fast? So now this person doesn't have a clear intention. If the next day happens, we'll get to, if the deadline of the intention happens, he still hasn't made the intention, his fast will not be done. Even if he didn't eat, even if he didn't drink, he didn't make the intention by the deadline of the intention. When's the deadline? We'll get to that. By midday, then his fast will not be done. But if he says in his mind, in the later part of the night, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, you know what, I think I can do it. Or even if he wakes up at Fajr and he says, you know what, I think I can fast. I haven't eaten anything, I haven't drank anything, but you know what, I think I can fast. I think I can do it. His intention is done. And now his fast will be valid. So it is necessary to make an intention every day for each fast. Anything anyone's not understanding, feel free to ask me. Inshallah, you don't have to be shy. Put your hand up, you can ask, you can shout it out, however you feel free to ask. If a person does not make, and sisters upstairs as well, anything you don't understand, please feel free to ask. You can ask Shama. Shama is there. Our sister Tayyiba is there as well. You can ask and they can send the questions downstairs. Anyone else, mashallah? If a person does not make an intention but still refrains from food, drink and intercourse, the fast will still not be valid. Someone doesn't have an intention of fasting. They have no intention in their mind. They didn't plan to fast tomorrow. They didn't eat the next day. They didn't drink the next day. They didn't go near their wife the next day, Rayyan. Then their fast will not be done because their intention was not done, Rayyan. Rayyan, I'm going to then test you on this and you're going to say, Qari Sahab, I'm sorry, I was sitting there but my mind was in planet Mars. See, as usual. When to make intention? The time for intention starts from Maghrib of the night before and lasts till Dahwatul Kubra, half day or midday of the following day. So when's the first time we can, when's the earliest time that we can make our intention and when's the latest time or the deadline for us to make our intention? The earliest time you can make the intention is after Maghrib. So imagine tomorrow is the first of Ramadan. When do we find out tomorrow is the first of Ramadan? After? After Maghrib. So after Maghrib we find out that tomorrow is the first of Ramadan, so I can make my intention now. I'm fasting. That's it. As long as in my head I've got it, inshallah, fasting tomorrow. That's, as long as I've got the thought, that's my intention done. I don't have to worry about it. But like I said, if someone is not sure, someone's ill, they're not sure if they can fast, they're not sure, you know, one thing or the other, they don't make a firm intention in their mind of fasting. They might do it, they might not do it. Or they think, I'm not going to do it. Let's say a Muslim, Allah Ta'ala not let it be that any of our youngsters are like this. He makes his intention in his mind, I'm not going to fast anyway. I'm not going to fast anyway. So now this person doesn't have an intention of fasting. Now, throughout the night, mashallah, Allah's special rahmah hits this person and mashallah, he changes his mind. And now he says, tomorrow I'm going to fast. His intention is done. But what's the deadline? What's the last time that he can make the intention? Midday. Midday. Some scholars, Mufti Shafi Sahib and other great scholars mention about 1.5 hours before midday is more safe. That 1.5 hours before midday. So how do we calculate midday? I think I was going to mention here. How do we calculate midday? So this is an example here on the screen. Hopefully everyone can see it. This is an example. How do we calculate midday? We take into consideration Fajr starting time. So let's say tomorrow is the 1st of Ramadan. When is going to be, when will be midday? Midday, so you have Fajr starting time and you have Maghrib beginning time of the next day. So between Fajr starting time and Maghrib beginning time, however many hours there are, if you half them, then the middle of that is midday. Whatever is the middle of that, that's your midday. Again, like I said, Mufti Shafi, Uthmani and other great scholars, they mentioned that midday is still a bit risky. You should make the intention at least 1.5 hours before midday, just to be safe. But because of the rukhsa and because of the scope of opinions, you can, even if before midday you make your intention, inshallah your intention will be done. They give an example here. Fajr time, Fajr starts at 4 o'clock, starting time. Go on, Abdul Wahab. It's a very good question. We're going to get to that, Abdul Wahab. Very good question. And when we get to that, I'm going to ask you if you remember. Fajr starts at 4 o'clock. Imagine, Fajr starts at 4 o'clock in the morning. Starting time. Not Jamaat time. Starting. Fajr beginning time. And Maghrib is at 9 o'clock. The start time of Maghrib, or the time Maghrib enters, Maghrib Salah time enters, is at 9 o'clock. So between 4 o'clock to 9 o'clock, there are about roughly 17 hours, according to this example. About 17 hours. So your midday is going to be halfway point. And what's the halfway point? 8.5 hours. So 8.5 hours falls at around 12:30 in the afternoon. So 12:30 is going to be your midday. As long as you make the intention before 12:30, your fast is going to be valid. It's going to be accepted. But if it's after 12:30 and you still can't make your mind up, even if you hadn't eaten, even if you hadn't drank anything, but you still can't make your mind up after midday, your fast of that day is already gone. You have to do qadha of that fast anyway. There'll be no kafara. We get to that. Kafara is when you break a fast. Kafara is when you break a fast, and then there's certain reasons, and we'll get to that inshallah. Okay, there's a few questions to test people's knowledge. So let me ask. Ahmad woke up to partake in suhoor. Ahmad is a person, fictional person here. He woke up to eat his sahri. However, he forgot to make intention. He woke up for sahri, but he didn't make intention to fast tomorrow. Is his fast valid?
Yes.
Why? He got up for sahri. Why do you get up for sahri? Just for a midnight snack? Ji? Why do we wake up for sahri? To eat, because the whole purpose of sahri is so that we fast tomorrow. So maybe Ahmed didn't sit down, and maybe Ahmed didn't think, sorry, I'm speaking in a very light-hearted way, so because it's very hot masjid, everyone falls asleep. Maybe Ahmed didn't sit down and think, you know what, I'm fasting tomorrow. But just eating sahri or waking up at sahri time, the only reason he's doing that is for the fast. So that in and of itself serves as his intention. Does everyone understand? The point is, it's not a very hard and fast rule. People get very carried away, even namaz time. Salah has started. Imam Sahib is saying, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Imam Sahib is saying, Ghayrul Maghdubi Alayhim Wala Dhalin. MashaAllah, brothers behind us saying, Ameen. And the person is still saying, Nawaitu an usalli lillahi ta'ala. Our elders, unfortunately, because from childhood they make this mistake, they don't explain. Niyat dil ke andar hota hai. Intention is in the heart. Zuban ke upar nahi. Zuban se agar nabi ho jai. Remember, takbir tahreema, to catch the takbir tahreema, the first takbir, this is very important and you get so much reward. Agar Imam sahab ne takbir tahreema keh diya, phir uske baad Imam sahab surah Fatiha ki tilawat qiraat shuru kar di, phir bhi humne abhi tak niyat nahi ki aur namaz shuru nahi ki, to ye jo takbir tahreema aur pehli takbir ke saath namaz imam ke piche isme sharik hona, ye ajr humse chhut gayi. We're not going to get this reward anymore. So this is the problem. Don't you can make intention with the mouth. I'm not saying don't. I'm saying don't think that this is essential. Essential is in your heart. As long as in your heart you got the niyat, then bismillah. Okay. Yes, it will suffice as an intention. Similarly, performing the Taraweeh Salah will also suffice as an intention. But that's generally speaking. Some people don't even connect the Taraweeh to fasting. If a person's performed Taraweeh Salah, because Taraweeh comes first, like in the first of Ramadan, what are we going to do first? Are we going to fast first or read Taraweeh first? Taraweeh in the night is first. Therefore, just reading Taraweeh means that you're planning to fast tomorrow, generally speaking. Acha, some actions which are liked, mustahab actions, preferred actions in the month of Ramadan. Sayyiduna Abu Darda radiallahu anhu reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, three things are from the characteristics of the prophethood: to hasten to open the fast, to delay the sahri, the suhoor, and to place the right hand over the left hand in salah. Narrated by Imam Tabrani. Now this is one of the virtues of eating sahri. Now why sahri is very important? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, eating sahri is from the qualities of prophethood. The sifat, the qualities, the attributes of prophethood. That not just eating sahri, but to, firstly, to hasten to open the fast. To, as soon as iftar time comes in, maghrib time comes in, you break your fast straight away. If someone says, you know what, I fasted for 17 hours today, mashallah, this year fast a bit shorter. I fasted for 17 hours, I'm going to fast another extra 30 minutes. If that time ho gaya, baki saati kaapi rahe hain. But I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to fast another extra 30 minutes. This person is not going to get any reward for that. Allah Ta'ala doesn't want to see your strength. Allah Ta'ala just wants you to do as you've been told. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying the main reward is in eating as soon as iftar time strikes. That's why the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, as soon as Maghrib Adhan would go, they would quickly eat a date before even reading Maghrib Salah. Just to carry out this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to take the best reward. That as soon as Maghrib time has come in, I've eaten something or drank something. I've not waited, because if you wait after Maghrib, then you're waiting 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. They would quickly drink some water or quickly have a date just so that they can get this reward of breaking the fast at the as soon as Maghrib time comes in. Similarly, delaying the sahri. Someone says, you know what, I'm going to have my sahri at 12 o'clock at night, so I can fast extra 5 hours. I get extra 5 hours, 4 hours, 3 hours of reward. Person is not going to get any reward. Rather, they can be sinful for this. The sunnah is in delaying the sahri. And that's why in the hadith it's going to mention, I think it'll probably come. Yeah, the Sayyidina Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would stand up to offer salah after eating his food. And the timing between the start of Fajr and when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would stop eating was equivalent to the tilawa, to the recitation of 50 ayahs. Remember, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hamid, 1 second, let me explain this, and I'm going to answer your question. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they didn't have a namaz timetable, salah timetable like us. They had to look at the sky. So it was, you know, it was something that you had to be very cautious about, that you didn't want Fajr time to start, otherwise your fast wouldn't be done. But still Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would delay sahri so much that there was only just about enough time to quickly read 55 ayahs of the Quran roughly, and then Fajr time would start. But Rasulullah would delay his sahri, because the reward is in this. When Hamid, what's your question? Sorry, they're fasting? Yes, after you become a Muslim, definitely salah is necessary, fasting is necessary. But the person, we're not going to straight away say do everything together. We're going to say do things step by step. Think about it, the Sahaba, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with Islam, Allah ta'ala then revealed the verses in the Quran and the rules and regulations step by step. Allah ta'ala didn't say straight away, okay, namaz, fasting, no alcohol, no this, no that, straight away. No, because people, it takes time. People would become overburdened. So similarly, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would send his governors to faraway lands to call people towards Islam. For example, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, O Mu'adh, go to them and invite them towards Islam. فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوكَ If they obey you, then inform them that 5 times salah has been made fard upon you. فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوكَ If they obey you in 5 times salah and they start reading 5 times salah, then inform them that Allah Ta'ala has made fasting fard on them. إِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوكَ If they obey you in this, then inform them that zakat has been made fard. Meaning step by step, salah and then fasting and zakat. Obviously scholars differ in terms of which is more superior, but we can say one of them, we educate them, and then the Hajj. So one by one, step by step, so a person does not feel overwhelmed. So if someone becomes a Muslim today in the month first of Ramadan, I can't say, okay, you have to fast now, go. You've got 5 minutes left, Sehri time is going, and then otherwise your fast is not going to be done. Bichara, he doesn't know anything. He's not prepared mentally or anything. Now you're just going to say fast, maybe you'll make him physically ill. So that's why we inform him tomorrow, look, start. Today you don't make an intention of fasting, but tomorrow I'm fasting. You can sit with me today, you can see how I find it, and tomorrow maybe we can fast together. Or take a few days, start your salah. You know, step by step, inshallah, it should be done. Ji Abdul Wahab. If you are reading one namaz and in that time another namaz starts, that's not connected to fasting, but it's a good question, so I'll answer it. Apart from Fajr namaz, if you're reading Zuhar namaz and Asr namaz time starts, your namaz will not break, you have to finish your namaz. But it's not good to do that. It's not good to delay your Zuhar so much that it goes right to the end time. Similarly, if you're reading your Asr namaz at the end time and Maghrib starts, you can finish your Asr will be done, but it's not good to do that because you've delayed it too much. The only namaz that will not be done when the time goes is which namaz? Fajr namaz. If you're reading Fajr namaz at lastminute.com, right, and while you're reading Fajr namaz, sunrise time happens, Fajr namaz time is gone, your namaz is invalid. You have to do qadha of your namaz later. Apart from Fajr, the rest remaining salah, you can continue into the next time, but it's not good practice at all. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would break the fast with fresh dates before performing salah. If there were no fresh dates, then he would break the fast with dried dates. And if there were no dried dates, then he would take a few sips of water. So this is sunnah, and we should have this practice, that breaking the fast with dates and water, al-aswadain. Aswadain, dates and water, this is the sunnah. So a person should break the fast with dates, and if they don't have dates, then they break it with water. And they have both, they can have dates and they can have some sip of water, and this is good. Obviously we can break our fast with other things, the fast will still break and inshallah we'll still get reward, but we will miss out on this sunnah. Acha, disliked actions in the month of Ramadan. I'm going to go through it a bit quickly because I think there's quite a few slides, inshallah. So some things I'll go through quickly. Any questions anyone has, inshallah, feel free to ask. Things, actions which are disliked in the month of Ramadan. Detestable actions. Firstly, to chew gum, rubber, plastic items or other such things. Anything which imitates the action of eating and things like that and drinking, we should abstain from it. We should not do it. To collect one's saliva in the mouth and then to swallow it, trying to quench the thirst. Right, this is makruh, because the whole purpose of fasting is to abstain from food and drink. So you're trying to replicate the comfort which is experienced from drinking by doing this action, so therefore it's makruh. It won't break your fast. People ask me this in Ramadan as well, a lot actually. You know, sometimes you have phlegm and all that saliva and all that gathers at the from your nose and the back of your mouth, and you swallow it, you say, has my fast broken? And some people spit everything out, always spitting out, it's a burden. Right, imagine if you got a cold in Ramadan and you got all this saliva and all that gathering in your mouth and you keep spitting out thinking that if I swallow it, my fast breaks. So your fast doesn't break. Unless you purposefully are swallowing it, even then your fast doesn't break, but it's disliked. To delay a bath that has become obligatory and intentionally until after Fajr time. At night time, husband and wife, they can be together. Remember this fasting? Husband and wife having relations together, marital relations, this is forbidden during the fasting day. But at night time it's permissible. Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أحل لكم ليلة الصيام الرفث إلى نسائكم. That on the nights of the fast, it is permissible to actually for the spouses to be together, for the husband and wife to be together, and there's nothing wrong with this. So imagine husband and wife are together, or imagine someone has a wet dream or something like this, but they should have their ghusl straight away. But to delay the ghusl on purpose until after Fajr time, of course this is makruh. First of all, the Fajr time will probably go, Fajr salah will go, and on top of that it is makruh to delay for so long. And not just in Ramadan, but generally. We should not have this habit that at night time this impure liquid has come out of my body and I'm just delaying my ghusl 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock in the morning. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself taught us what? That even when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have marital relations with any of his wives, and if he was too tired and he would not do ghusl then and have a bath then, still he would go and firstly relieve himself, go to the bathroom, relieve himself. Secondly, he would do a full wudu. He would do full wudu, he would gargle out his mouth, rinse out his nostrils, do a full wudu, and then he would go to sleep. And then he would wake up and he would do the ghusl. So this is the sunnah, this is what we should be doing. And better for us, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you had to go, you had to get the water from a well, you had to bring it, it was hard. Nowadays we have a bathroom 2 meters away from our bedroom, we can just have our ghusl then. MashaAllah, if you have long hair, if your hair dryer, dry your hair, you can go to bed. There's no harm, there's no issue, there's no delay. It only takes 5-10 minutes to have a fard ghusl. So that this unnecessary delay make a person sinful. To use toothpaste or tooth powder to clean one's teeth. It is permitted to use a miswak of any permissible fresh branch or root toothstick. People always ask this question, it's a valid question. People are going to school, college, university, working, have to meet other colleagues. So can we use toothpaste in Ramadan? Look, the scholars generally mention, stay away from toothpaste. Why do they say stay away from toothpaste? Because toothpaste has a hard form, a physical form. Anything which has a hard physical form, swallowing it is going to break your fast. And toothpaste is not, you know, it's got a physical form. You obviously squeeze it out of a tube, put it on the toothbrush. So swallowing that, or swallowing even a tiny, atom of that, is going to break your fast. So that's why it's very important. If we can abstain from using it, abstain from it. Right? There are miswaks. Our problem with our people is miswak istimal nahi karte. Our people don't use miswak. I don't want to ask anyone here who uses miswak, who doesn't. Most people don't use miswak. Our religious people don't use miswak. The discussion about the reward of miswak is a different discussion. So much reward. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi mentioned, the reward of your namaz is multiplied by 70 times. Each namaz, the reward is multiplied by 70 dafa, 70 times just by using miswak. Isn't that enough? That reward itself. Why do we read namaz with jamaat? So we get 27 times the reward. Imagine using miswak, it's so many times more. And then there are so many other benefits. So we don't use miswak, so we're not comfortable using miswak. So come Ramadan, they go to the shop, they buy a miswak, they open it, say, isko bhai kis tarah istemal karte hai, kaise istemal karte hai? I have no idea how to use this thing. They bite it, chew it, this is tastes funny and looks funny and it's too hard and it's breaking my gum teeth and ripping my gums. So then they give up. So but the problem, this is why we need to learn how to use a miswak. The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would always use the miswak. He'd always carry the miswak. Many sahaba would carry the miswak like this. I don't have a pen, but many sahaba would carry the miswak here on their ears. Wherever they were walking, they would just have the miswak. They just use it all the time. So it cleans your mouth, freshens your mouth. So it's a very important sunnah. So when we learn how to use the miswak in the month of Ramadan, you can just suffice in using miswak. I've worked in places personally where you have to talk all day long, right? And even in those places, I just used to use the miswak. I keep the miswak there in front of me. And they did know, oh, this is his something he uses to brush his teeth, even the non-Muslim colleagues. So you have to create that image. This is our sunnah. There's nothing wrong with it. So we always use it, and you see your mouth is fresh. And when you use the miswak, it's not just brushing the teeth, right? Miswak is, you can get to every part of your mouth, the tongue, the zuban, the top of your mouth, the top palate, all of this you can scrub. And this is where all of the smells and all the acids, they all accumulate. You'll see when you scrub your tongue, when you scrub the top part of your mouth properly, you rinse it out, you'll see that your breath is fresh. You don't have a bad breath. If you just brush your teeth like this, right, then you'll still have the bad breath. Because all of that acidic particles or whatever it is, I'm not a dentist, but all of those, they accumulate on the tongue, etc. And this is where the main smell comes from. So once you clean all of that with the miswak, you have a fresh breath. So we can definitely suffice a miswak. But let's say somebody uses it, like as the scholars discourage it, but if someone uses it, they say it's makruh. And if you do use it with a dry toothbrush, a tiny bit of toothpaste, and you know, very quickly do the surface of your mouth and quickly rinse it out, but it's a risk because it can go down down your throat. If it does go down, then your fast will break. So that's why it's better to abstain if a person can. There's no problem. It's a very good question. Now uncle asked, some miswaks have mint flavors and this and that. The natural flavors which are in a miswak, they do not break your fast. Most of the time you get these two flavors, I think. The original flavor and the mint flavor. So if you use a mint flavor miswak, no problem. That will not break your fast because it's a natural flavor. To complain of hunger and thirst, this is also disliked. The whole purpose of fasting is to have sabr. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, that the month of Ramadan is shahru sabr, that is the month of patience. So a person has to be patient. A person can't sit there saying, oh, I'm so hungry, or, you know, it's very hard fasting. MashaAllah, I go to work, my non-Muslim work colleague saying, you can't even have water. You can't even have a sip of water in Ramadan. I'm saying, yeah, you don't know. Tell me about it. so difficult. So you're complaining. So you know, it's okay. This is something which God has made necessary, and it's very good for me, very beneficial for me, and it gives me so much reward that I would never sacrifice this. I would never sacrifice the benefit of my fasting. To take the water too much up the nostrils when cleaning the nose. Again, these things. Gargling and cleaning the nostrils, putting water up the nostrils, we have to be very careful. When you gargle and you do this sound, this gargara, like this sound from your throat, it's very easy for the water to go down. Similarly, when you're putting water up your nostrils, Shayan, you guys, I'm going to be testing you on this. You didn't have class today for this reason. I'm going to be testing you on it, mashallah. Most of you are here, hopefully. So putting water up the nose, similarly when you gargle with your mouth and make that sound, it's very easy for the water to go down. So even when putting water up the nostrils, that's why the sunnah method of actually doing istinthar, the Arabic word is istinthar, cleaning out your nostrils, is actually to very lightly just put a bit of water here. We push water like that. If you push water like that, it's going to go all the way up. If you feel that kind of brain freeze from putting water up your nostrils, your fast is broken. Anything that gets to your brain, anything that gets to your belly, will break your fast. Anything that gets to your brain and anything that gets to your belly will break your fast. That's why you have to be very careful. Similarly, even when having fard ghusl, people always ask me this. How can you have a fard ghusl, obligatory bath in the morning, you had a wet dream, husband and wife have been together, I need to have an obligatory bath, how can I not gargle? How can I not put water in my nostrils? I always say, look, this gargling, taking water into your throat is not fard. What is fard? What's fard here when you gargle your mouth? Just cleaning the inside of your mouth. Like imagine if I put water in my mouth and then I just did this. You know that motion that you do where you just clean your mouth. This is fard. Not to get water to your throat. Yeah, fard nahi hai. Right? People have a misconception. They think I have to take the water to my throat. That's dangerous. Because water can go down, your fast will break. So there's no harm doing it outside of Ramadan. Right? Because obviously you want to clean your throat out or whatever. But in Ramadan, we have to be careful. Just do the inside of your mouth, your fard is done. Similarly, when cleaning into your nostrils, just make sure this soft part which flares up, soft part of your nostril, only that part has to be washed. Right? You don't have to go beyond that. That's not necessary. To quarrel, argue, use filthy or indecent words. Very important that we abstain from all this. Whole purpose of fasting in month of Ramadan is to get close to Allah Ta'ala. If I can't control my tongue, swearing at people, arguing, getting involved in all these debates and discussions, backbiting, right? All of these things, then unfortunately all the reward of my fast is going to be lost. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعِ. There are many people who fast in the month of Ramadan, they don't get anything out of their fast except for hunger. Meaning they get zero reward. They only got hunger because the entire fasting period, they committed many sins and they broke all of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To backbite, tell a lie and swear are sinful acts even when one is not fasting. Therefore, they become even worse when fasting. On a normal day, these things are bad and it's very sinful. In Ramadan, the sin is multiplied. Invalidators, things which break a person's fast. It's very important. I'm going to try, inshallah, before 8 o'clock, by 8 o'clock, to wrap it up, or maybe five past eight. Inshallah, is very important, so we'll go through some parts a bit quicker. What is the criteria for an invalid? What are the things which break one's fast? An invalidator must meet all of the following criteria. It has a visible body. It has a form, a solid form. Whether it's a liquid form or a solid form, as in it has a form that can be seen. Right. So if something has a form that can be seen and it goes into your belly or it goes into your brain, right, from any of the paths, we'll get to the paths, then your fast will break. If something doesn't have a form, for example, an oxygen, not asthma pump, inhaler, but you have these oxygen canisters. If someone uses an oxygen canister, what does oxygen canister release? Oxygen. Does oxygen have form? No, it's oxygen all around us, we're taking it in, right? So oxygen doesn't have a form. So if someone breathes an oxygen canister all day long, their fast will not break because there's no visible particles or form to it. But an asthma pump and inhaler will break your fast because when you squeeze on the asthma pump, there's small, small, tiny, tiny particles which are released. Even though they're very small, but they still have a form, and that form will break a person's fast when they swallow it. It can reach the stomach. So that's another condition. It enters the body via the mouth or nose or rear passage. Mouth, nose, rear passage. right? Even frontal passage for women as well. The frontal passage, frontal private part for women, anything which enters through there, that can also break the fast. If it's something wet, if it's something which has a form, it can break fast. Many times people ask about this in Ramadan, medication. People have certain illnesses, they need to apply certain medication. People have all kinds of health conditions, right? So they need to apply medication on the inside of any of the private parts. If it's medication, if it's wet, if it has a form, it will break the fast. Right. There's more conditions to it, but you should always ask a scholar. Always ask a scholar. If you've got to apply some medication there for whatever reason, always refer to a scholar just to make sure that your fast is valid. Invalidators are of two types. Certain things break your fast, but they only make qada necessary. And certain things break your fast, but they make qada and kafara necessary. So what's qada and what's kafara? Qada is when Ramadan finishes, after the month of Ramadan, we have to make up for the fast that we broke with one fast. That's qada. And kafara is after the month of Ramadan finishes, we need to make up for that fast that we broke with 60 fasts. And for the day that we missed, we also have to do the qada of that. So basically 61 fasts. You have to do qada of the day that you missed, and you have to do 60 fasts as a punishment. So it's a very serious matter. A person just says, oh, I'm finding it hard, concentrate on my GCSEs, I'm just going to drink some water. 60 fasts become necessary straight away. You have to be very careful. Okay, now from the things that necessity, qada only, look, I'm not going to go through all of this. There's two words. One is doing something forgetfully and one is doing something mistakenly. Right? Doing something forgetfully does not break your fast. Doing something mistakenly breaks your fast. Right? So for example, I'll give an example of forgetful and mistaken. I wake up in the morning, day one of Ramadan. My normal habit is to wake up, go downstairs, pour myself a bowl of Cocoa Pops, eat the Cocoa Pops, and then go to work. That's my habit. Now it's first day of Ramadan, and I'm in this routine. I go downstairs, pour myself a bowl of Cocoa Pops, I eat it, and then I realize, oh no, I'm fasting. Is my fast broken? No, because this mistake that I made was forgetfully. I forgot. And then there's another one. If you make a mistake forgetfully, your fast doesn't break. If you make it mistakenly, your fast breaks, but there will just be qada and not kafara. What's an example of fast mistakenly? I remember when I was in Holland once doing Tarawih Salah, and one of the days, the brother, he gave adhan for Maghrib about 10 minutes early, or 5-10 minutes early. And what this brother used to do is, as soon as Maghrib time, it would be Maghrib time, first he would put a date in his mouth here, like on the side here, right? And then he would give the adhan. The date would be in his mouth, and he would give the adhan. That was his habit for some reason. So he put the date in his mouth, and then he gave the adhan 10 minutes early. So we stopped, you know, people stopped him straight away, so he probably only said a few lines. But the thing is, because he had put that date in his mouth, he'd obviously already ingested or eaten or swallowed something from that date. Now his fast is broken, but is it a forgetful or mistaken? Mistakenly. He mistook the time. He should have been more careful and considerate of what time it was. So mistakenly doing something which breaks your fast actually breaks your fast, but you only have to make up for it after Ramadan with one fast. You don't have to do kafara. Does everyone understand the difference between mistaken and forgetful? So I'm not going to go through all these tables. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will, because obviously these things can happen. But inshallah, obviously the reward is never the same, but a person should do istighfar and just hope that Allah Ta'ala will reward them. Invalidators that necessitate a qada only. If a person eats or drinks mistakenly whilst conscious of fasting, his fast will break and he will have to do qada only. When you break your fast mistakenly, then you have to do qada. Similarly, certain things, certain items which you eat, which are not normally eaten. Like let's say someone's very hungry in Ramadan. They go outside, they start eating leaves. Example sake, they start eating leaves. They think, I can't eat food, if I eat some leaves, maybe I'll feel better. Or they start, mashallah, eating soil. Now this will not break their fast because this is not something which is commonly eaten or ingested, taken into your body. So, sorry, it will break your fast, it will be qada, but it will not be kafara. It will be qada, but it will not be kafara. And similarly, anything which is a mistaken thing. Eating or drinking because one thought Maghrib entered but it didn't. Eating or drinking because one doubted that Fajr entered but it did. This also happens. People don't take into consideration Sahri time, Sahri end time. And they eat all the way and then Fajr time starts. So now that person's fast is not done, but because it was mistakenly fast breaks, but you just have to do qada. Eating or drinking forgetfully and thereafter thinking that the fast is broken, to deliberately eat and drink again. Mashallah. So this person wakes up in the morning, has his Coco Pops, accidentally, forgetfully, right? So his fast is not broken, but he thinks, oh no, I'm fasting and I just ate Coco Pops. Mashallah, my fast is broken, might as well finish my bowl of Coco Pops. So he finishes off his bowl of Coco Pops now. So now this person is still mistaken. He's not doing it, you know, on purpose. He's still mistaken. He thinks his fast is broken, whereas it was valid. Now he will just have to make up for it with one fast after the month of Ramadan. Invalidators that necessitate a qada only. The mouth and throat. Swallowing a pebble or other items that people wouldn't typically eat. I did all this. Swallowing water by accident when gargling. During wudu and ghusl rayyan, if I am gargling and water is swallowed. Sorry, Rayyan, I'm going to pick on you because you're sitting right in my line of sight. When you do wudu and ghusl, like I said, we're not supposed to gargle and take the water there. Well, imagine if somebody did and they swallowed it. They didn't have an intention to swallow it. Now it's accidentally gone down. Your fast will still break. You weren't supposed to do this. It's the same as using toothpaste in Ramadan. Toothpaste is going to break your fast and you will have to do qada after Ramadan, not kafara. Swallowing blood that exits from the gums and is more than salat. People always ask about this. What if my gums bleed? It happens. Sometimes you don't even realize. You brush your teeth or even you do miswak and your gums are bleeding and then the blood goes down. The rule on this, in regards to this, is that if blood is ingested and I swallow blood and I taste the blood, if I can taste the blood, then my fast breaks. Any taste of blood, my fast will break. However, if I can't taste the blood, then there's a litmus test that we have to do. What's the litmus test? We have to spit out. So we spit out into the sink. And if we spit out into the sink and we see that the color of blood is more than the color of saliva, then my fast has broken if I swallowed that. But if the color of saliva is more or more dominant than the color of blood, then my fast has not broken. This is when I don't taste it. I swallowed it, but I didn't taste it. But if I tasted anything of blood, then my fast breaks. And I have to do qada after Ramadan. Swallowing toothpaste, mouthwash, vomiting. Vomiting, look, the only time when vomiting breaks your fast is if you intentionally vomit. Intentionally, then you put your fingers down to vomit. Sometimes, you know, a person is feeling very sick and it's just they can't sleep, they're restless, and the only way they feel a bit calm is if they put their fingers down, put pressure on themselves to vomit. This is when they then feel that their stomach has cleared. So this person intentionally vomits. If you intentionally vomit and any vomit comes into your mouth, then the fast will break. Some scholars mention, look, you might find this mas'ala certain places, that intentionally vomiting a mouthful breaks your fast. But there's a very strong opinion in the Hanafi madhab that intentionally vomiting even a little bit will break your fast. So the safest thing to do, even if intentionally you vomited and a tiny bit came into your mouth, is still to do the qada of that fast after the month of Ramadan. Vomiting accidentally, person fell sick, they vomited buckets and buckets and buckets. Right? Your fast does not break. However, you vomited and then you swallowed it. If you vomit and then you accidentally swallow the vomit, then your fast breaks, because now you've actually swallowed something into your belly. Yeah, does that make sense? I'm saying a lot of things here. If you remember, whatever you remember, inshallah, good. Whatever you don't remember, at least you can think, I think he said something about this. So let me go and ask him. Now that this issue has happened, let me go and confirm what is the rule. Water used to clean the nose for wudu or ghusl. So somebody has vomited and now they think that their fast is broken, so they deliberately vomit again. They vomited accidentally and now they think, oh, my fast is broken anyway, let me put my fingers down and get the rest of it out. Now their fast does break, but it's only qada, not kafara, because they didn't know, mistakenly. Water used to clean the nose for wudu or ghusl reaches the throat or the brain, breaks your fast. Inhaling medicine into the nostrils. You know, some people when they have a cold, they inhale Vicks. Right, and they say it's a good way to remember inhaling Vicks, like, you know, they put a hot water, a bowl of water, and then they put towel over their head. These kind of things will break your fast, because steam, if you directly go and inhale steam, it will break your fast. Still, steam still has some kind of body to it, right? Even though it's more like a gas, but it still has a body, so it will break your fast. That's why smoking, shisha, hookah, any kind of taking in any kind of steam, like if a person is, for example, passing outside. And somebody, passive smoking without actually inhaling yourself won't break your fast. But imagine if someone is a smoker. I'm not a smoker, so I don't know. Someone is a smoker, they're walking outside, some other person is smoking. They go next to them. Oh, I really miss this smoking because I'm fasting. Now that will break their fast because they've actually inhaled on purpose. So anything which has a body of smoke or steam, inhaling that on purpose breaks your fast. Like agarbatti, incense sticks, oud burners, all of these things which have smoke will break your fast if you inhale it. People always ask the question, what about in the kitchen? MashaAllah, in Ramadan in the kitchen there's full on steam and smoke and all kinds of things happening. What about that smoke? In principle, that smoke should break your fast. All the smoke from all the cooking, all the dua, it should break your fast. However, because this is a necessity, this is something unavoidable, especially for the women folk, and it's unavoidable. That's why the scholars say istihsanan, meaning they permit this, that even if the smoke from cooking and things like that is inhaled, the fast would not break. But otherwise, things like agarbatti and oud burner and things like that, you can avoid that. So you put yourself in that situation and you inhale that smoke, the fast will break. Qada and kafara will only be considered. Okay, so we've talked about qada. Now let's talk about qada and kafara. Remember, how many slides does this thing have? Just very quickly see how many slides. MashaAllah, 62 slides. I don't think we can get through all of them. Qada and kafara. So like I said, if a person breaks their fast according, based on any of the things we mentioned previously, your fast breaks, but you only have to make up for it with one fast after Ramadan qada. There are times when you break your fast, you got to make up for it with 60 fasts. This is known as kafara. Zain, what's it called? Kafara, right? Kafara means to, it's like a punishment. It's like a punishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has imposed this as a punishment. That person was supposed to take the month of Ramadan very seriously, but they didn't. And they broke their fast, so they have to make up for it. So qada and kafara will only be compulsory if a person, number one, purposefully breaks their fast. That on purpose they break their fast, for no valid reason whatsoever. They just, I'm finding fasting too difficult, so I'm just going to eat. Now that person's fast is not done. That person's fast is broken, they have to do kafara. Through eating, drinking, or engaging in intercourse in the month of Ramadan. Inshallah. So it's all three together. How to fulfill kafara? Everyone listen to this is very important. People say, I've got kafara, last year I broke a fast, can I fast 10 days and then 10 days gap and then take a 10 days gap? It's not fair, women get a gap, men don't get a gap, because women do get a gap. Men don't get a gap, it's not fair, so can I just create my own gap? No, unfortunately you can't. You have to fast 60 days in a row. Right, 60 days in a row, regardless of how you're feeling, regardless of what you have going on, you have to fast. If you miss one day, you have to restart all of it all over again. It's a very serious thing. So if not kept concerned, if a woman experiences menstruation during kafara, she will not have to start all over again. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this exemption for women, this leeway for women, that when a woman's time of the month comes on, her period comes on, a menstrual cycle takes place, then just for those days, she can stop her fasting. But as soon as she can pray again, as soon as she can read again, then she must carry on with her fasting. And then if a person doesn't have the strength to be able to fast for 60 days in a row, if they are not this made up, don't have strength. Actually, they are very old physically. The doctor, Muslim doctor, has said you can't do 60 days of fasting. Only in that case, they can feed 60 poor people 2 meals for a day, or feed one person 2 meals for 60 days. Then this is the alternative, or free a slave. We don't have slaves nowadays. Qada first and then kafara. A person will have to, remember I said it's 61. You got to make up for the day of the fast that you broke, and then you got to do the 60. So you got to do the qada first. So you can do the qada, you can detach the qada. Like you can do the qada first, and then later on you can do kafara. But you have to make sure that it's done in that order, that the qada of that day you missed is done first, and then the kafara is done later on. These things will not break your fast. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, whoever forgets he is fasting and eats or drinks, let him complete his fast, for it is Allah jalla jalaluhu who has fed him and given him to drink. Eating and fasting forgetfully, remember what I mentioned, forgetfully and mistakenly, two different things, right? Sound very similar, right? But forgetfully, like you actually forgot you are fasting. So in that case, your fast is valid. And another point here, if you see someone eating, if Abu Hurairah sees Abu Bakr in the morning eating a bowl of Cocoa Pops, and Abu Hurairah says, what are you doing? You're not fasting. We shouldn't do that. Because look at this hadith here. Whoever forgets he is fasting and eats or drinks, let him complete his fast. Don't even say to him, oh, why are you eating and drinking? When I was younger, my sister, she would, I don't know if she did it on purpose, I'm sure that she was young then, but she would eat every day pretty much in Ramadan, and she would say she forgot. But mom and dad would say, don't tell her anything. Because at the end of the day, this is the sunnah, that when somebody is fasting in the month of Ramadan, and they eat and drink, and they're doing it in front of everyone, most likely they're doing it forgetfully. And it's possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this person has some weakness, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving them some energy and some strength through this food. So leave them alone. Don't say anything. Later, once they finish eating and drinking, you can say, you know, you're fasting. Later, not then. Don't say, oh, what are you doing? Just leave them, ignore them. Right? So obviously, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we sit there saying, how dare this person eat and drink when I'm fasting? Acha, actions that don't invalidate one's fast. Number one, swallowing one's own saliva and the wetness that remains after washing the mouth. Like I say, people ask me this question, I've got a ball of saliva in my mouth and I swallowed it, does that break my fast? No. Similarly, when you rinse your mouth out in wudu, people always ask this question, very important question. I gargled my mouth, I rinse my mouth out. Abhi, there's a little bit of wetness left in my mouth, bit of moisture. So I swallow that moisture, is that okay? It's fine. As long as you spat out the water, if a bit of moisture left over is left, your fast is fine. Similarly, after sahri time. Sahri time, you were eating, mashallah, whatever we eat at sahri time. And now, sahri time has just finished and I've still got the taste and flavor of my biryani and my samosa, whatever in my mouth. Now, swallowing that flavor is fine. Mashallah, pan lovers. Hafizah could relate to this. I know Hafizah can. Mashallah. Like you have your pan, lastminute.com before sahri time. Scholars actually mention this in the books about pan, because you have to have it lastminute.com. So they have the pan, and then what happens is, just before sahri time, quickly rinse out the mouth, but you can still taste the flavoring. Right? So tasting that flavoring will not break your fast, as long as the hard, you know, the particles of the food have actually been spat out or consumed. Sorry, Hafizah. I know I've seen you do this in Ramadan, mashallah, so I have to mention that. Jibilal. Sniffing up mucus even if it descends in the throat. Now, if a person has mucus, like I said, in the mouth and they sniff that up, that will not break the fast. Inhaling smoke, dust, intentionally, I've mentioned all of this. A person has had a wet dream at night time. Maybe they slept through Fajr. Right, obviously very important, month of Ramadan, don't miss Fajr, but that's a separate discussion. They slept through Fajr, they woke up at 10 o'clock in the morning, like, oh no, I had a wet dream and I still haven't had a ghusl. Is my fast done? Someone asked me this last Ramadan, I think that's what you might have asked me. These are common questions, so that's why everybody needs to listen carefully. They're very common questions. I had a wet dream, I slept through, and now it's morning, 10 o'clock in the morning, it's daytime, I still haven't had my fard ghusl, my obligatory bath. Can I fast it, or will my fast not be done? Your fast is still valid. Your fast is not broken. Very important. Injection, blood transfusion, kidney dialysis, glucose, saline drip, all of these things will not break your fast. Remember, glucose injections, people who are diabetic, many times they have to take these glucose injections. It does give you that energy, that strength, but because there's nothing directly ingested into the belly or into the brain, therefore your fast won't break. Anything which is directly ingested into the belly or brain, the fast breaks. Scholars did research on this. In the early days, they didn't have to worry about these injections and stuff. Nowadays, injections. But the scholars that did the research and they said, look, most injections, they are released, whatever is released from the injection is released through the bloodstream, through the veins. It's not released directly into the belly, abdomen, or into the brain, therefore the fast is valid. Right? Similarly, all of these, I don't know if it's going to mention, you know, many of these tests which are done, endoscopy and or colonoscopy and all these different tests are done in which cameras are inserted into the body from the mouth or from different avenues for the doctors to inspect. In general, they don't break your fast, but if there was some gel or wetness or something which most of the time is applied to make the insertion easy, then it will break your fast. If something, a camera is inserted through, again, these questions I'm mentioning here to say that they are questions we need to ask. You're not going to remember all of this. But outside in Ramadan, if these things do happen, you have to do a test like this. Smear tests. Women have to go for smear tests. Vaginal examinations. All of these kind of things. Always ask. The principal rule in all of that is, if something wet enters into our body, something with moisture, something which has a physical form, then our fast will break. Otherwise, if it's something dry, fast will not break. No man? Very good question. Your sahri time has started, you were eating and sahri time has started, but you've already swallowed everything, but you've got something stuck in your teeth. It'll probably be answered here. You've got something stuck in your teeth. Now, if you've got something stuck in your teeth, you rinse it out right now, man. If you've got something stuck in your teeth, you rinse it out. But if somebody had something stuck in their teeth and they swallowed it, They swallowed it like people sometimes do. If it was a very small amount, it won't break your fast. How do we know what a small amount is here? Go on. Vegetable. Chickpea amount. Like a small chana, pea. So imagine if, you know, sometimes you have, when you're having meat or something gets stuck in the teeth, or something like mango, I don't know, I'm finding examples, they get stuck in the teeth. So now if a person, you know, with the tongue kind of just loosens it and swallows it, the fast will not break if it is less than a chickpea in size. But if somebody took that out of their mouth and said, oh, delicious mango, I can't waste this, pops it back in their mouth and swallows it, now the fast will break, even if it was a tiny amount. The only time your fast breaks is, like I said, if you had lots and lots and lots of leftover food in your mouth, which equaled or totaled to more than a chickpea amount, and you swallowed that, then your fast will break. Noman, is that your question? Yeah? Go on, Bilal. You're praying Fajr and there's something in your mouth. Like a tiny little... No, that won't break your namaz, it won't break your fast either. If you loosened it with your teeth. Like I said, a piece of meat stuck in your gap in your teeth or something, and while you're reading your Fajr namaz, you loosened it with your tongue and you swallowed it, it won't break your namaz, neither will it break your fast. It's too small. You can have a rough... I don't think something generally the size of a chickpea is stuck, unless, I don't know, you've just stuff things into your teeth for a later snack or something. Otherwise, generally, you shouldn't. That generally doesn't happen. Otherwise, yeah, of course, namaz will not be valid because you're eating in namaz. Fast will not be valid because obviously you've eaten too much. Miss tooth extraction subject to not swallowing. Any kind of dentist appointments we should avoid in Ramadan. Dentist appointments, because dentist appointments, more than likely something will go down your throat. They open your mouth so big and wide, you don't have control. You'll swallow something. So if you swallow anything, your fast will break. Blood and this kind, you'll swallow it, fast will break. So avoid dentist appointments, do them outside of the month of Ramadan. Miswak or toothbrush, swimming or submerge. Swimming we shouldn't do in Ramadan. Why? Because swimming, water can go through the nostrils, it's very easy, right? Like 99.9% water is going to go through the nostrils, or water is going to go through your mouth, fast will break. Tasting food does not break your fast. Okay, we're saying swimming. Tasting food does not break your fast. Now, that doesn't mean we start tasting food. This, the scholars mention, is makruh. What they say is only permissible for people in a situation. Maybe it's your job that you have to cook food for other people. And if you don't cook it properly, you're going to lose business. So you lightly take a bit of food and, you know, on the tip of the tongue, you can just get the flavor of it. And the condition, you don't swallow anything. Because if you swallow anything, you've swallowed the food. Your fast is going to break. Kafara is going to be necessary because you've eaten. But if you just taste it lightly on the tip of the tongue and then you just spit it out, and then there's no hard body, even if there's a leftover flavor won't break your fast, as long as you spat out the and gargled your mouth from the physical, you know, food item that you put in your mouth. Frequently asked questions. Very quickly, inshallah, 5 minutes. We'll quickly go through this. Does vomiting break my fast, Rayyan? Where's Rayyan? Rayyan, does vomiting break your fast? No. And I need Rayyan to say this, because Rayyan, mashallah, has been sitting in front of me all. Does vomiting break your fast? Yeah. Abdul Wahab, you were listening very attentively. Rayyan was daydreaming. Very good. Rayyan, go on. When does vomiting break your fast? Chalo, when does vomiting break your fast? Generally, go on, Bilal. Full mouth, but when you do it? It, on purpose, you put your fingers in and you vomit out. That's the only time your fast breaks. If it's accidental, or, you know, unintentional, you ate something wrong at sehri time in the morning, you vomited, or you went to sleep too early after eating and you felt sick in the middle of the night, you did lots of vomit, fast does not break. So it's a very common question. Okay, I've explained all this as well. Well, anyway, here. How do you decide when vomiting is mouthful? Vomiting is mouthful when you can't control it. It becomes like it's going to spill out. Right? Most of the time when vomiting is mouthful, it basically means it's all coming out. Sibghat? If you swallow your vomit, your fast breaks. But you will only make up for it with one qada after Ramadan, not kafara. A little amount of vomit went up my throat accidentally. Listen to the question. Little amount of vomit went up my throat accidentally, and then as a reflex action, without me intending to, it went back down. I felt I had no control over it. Does my fast break?
No.
It won't, because this was accidental and it was still in my throat, it hadn't come into my mouth. Once it comes into my mouth and I'm now in control of that, what's in my mouth I'm in control of, right? Now if I swallow it, my fast will break. Can I swallow bits of food left between my teeth? Go on, Hamid. Less than the size of a chickpea, well done. If it's less than the size of a chickpea and you swallow it, then your fast will not break. Does applying eardrops, I don't know if I mentioned this, applying eardrops or eye drops, do they break your fast? No. Eardrops and eye drops do not break your fast. What did I say? The two places that something can get to for your fast to break? Stomach and your brain. Applying eardrops, ear is not a channel to the belly or to the brain. Similarly, the eyes are not a channel to the belly or to the brain. That's why applying eardrops, eye drops in the month of Ramadan will not break your fast. Okay, unless the eardrum is not perforated. That's obviously a side question. Does nasal spray break one's fast? So if a person uses a nasal spray, his fast would be, like I said, anything that goes through your nose and mouth, in general, it's going to break your fast. So it'll all break your fast. Deodorants and perfumes. Someone put a lot of perfume and deodorant. In general, that doesn't break your fast. But if you spray into your mouth, right, and mashallah, you swallow the particles or up your nose or something, then the fast breaks, because now you're ingesting particles. But if it's around you and you can smell it, then it's okay. But we shouldn't spray like some people spray, mashallah, pouring the whole perfume on themselves. Smoking cigarettes, shisha, other similar items will break one's fast. Qadha and kafara will both be necessary. Asthma pump will break your fast. Does taking an injection break one's fast?
No.
No, why not? It goes through your bloodstream, it doesn't go directly into your belly or into your brain, therefore your fast is valid. Does the muadhin open his fast first and then give adhan? He can do. He has the option. He should open the fast first, but again with a few sips of water with a date. He shouldn't do our style iftari for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and then give adhan. Right? Just simple few sips of water, a date. Quickly he can have that, so he gets the reward of breaking his fast early, and then and then he can quickly give the adhan. When traveling, if you're fasting, do you open your fast based off the destination time or the time of the outbound destination? Very good. You're going to take into consideration wherever you are at that moment in time. So wherever you are at that moment in time, I'm traveling to London on the way, Birmingham. Birmingham time obviously is going to be a little bit, few minutes different in terms of iftar time to London. So I'm going to break my fast according to Birmingham time, not London time. Is that the... International, same. We should ask the all of this stuff. We should try and book in a manner that won't generally affect our fast. If it's going to be too inconvenient and we're not going to get a grip of anything, remember, you're a traveler. You're allowed to break your fast. If you know I'm not going to understand anything here. I'm traveling in a non-Muslim airlines, non-Muslim attendants. They're not going to be able to tell me anything about iftar or sahri or anything. And I don't have internet access. Then just don't fast for that day and do the qadha after the month of Ramadan. Because otherwise it's possible that your fast is not even done if you're just going to fluke it and just guess it. But if you're traveling for Umrah in Ramadan, many people go for Umrah, etc., to a Muslim country. Most of the time, those on the plane, the air attendants, flight attendants, etc., should be able to give us that guidance. Injection doesn't break your fast. Sorry, last one. When doing the 60-day consecutively kafara, if a person doesn't wake up but had intention, does he continue to fast that day? Or will it reset? Allahu a'lam, actually. Allahu a'lam. I'm not sure of that one. I'm not sure of that one, inshallah. So I will check that one. Is that from yourself or someone else? Yeah, inshallah. I'll check that one. Slip my mind now. Does taking an asthma inhaler break your fast? Yes. Taking asthma pump breaks your fast. If one has an attack and takes the inhaler for his health, is it qadha kafara? It's qadha. Any medicine which is administered out of necessity, someone has some kind of epileptic fit or some other kind of necessary, they collapse or something, diabetic person has some kind of a glucose shortage or whatever else it is, and they collapse or they're too unwell and they have to be given that dosage of insulin or whatever else it is, then their fast will break, but it will just be qadha but not kafara, because this is a necessity. Islam is not going to impose upon us against things that are too difficult for us. Go on, the young boy at the back, what's your question? No, if someone goes to a different country for 30 days, they're not going to be a traveler. They have to fast. What are the rules pertaining to menstruation while fasting? I don't think I've mentioned this, right? It's going to come here. A woman may experience the following. Look, I'll explain in brief. This is for the sisters specifically, right? That if a woman in the month of Ramadan, if a girl who has reached the age of puberty, in the month of Ramadan, her menstrual cycle starts while she is fasting. She's made the intention to fast today. She started her fast after Fajr time. It's 11 o'clock in the morning, I don't know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now her period starts. She has to break her fast. If she says, no, I'm still going to carry on my acting like I'm fasting, she'll be sinful. Because when you have your period in the month of Ramadan, you have to then eat and drink. But she shouldn't eat and drink in front of people, especially in front of children and those who won't understand. Right? We should eat and drink isolated, away from others. That's one situation. Another situation is, again here he mentions, Ramadan has begun, she was already in the state of menstruation. First of Ramadan is possibly on Thursday. Her period started on Monday or Tuesday. So let's say her normal habit is 7 days. Let's say, for example, normal habit is 7 days. So most likely on Thursday, the first of Ramadan, she is going to be on her period. So she does not need to fast. She can eat and drink like normal, but she should not show to people, right? That she should be hidden, unless it's from of her mom or other women folk who will understand. Another situation, this is very important, especially sisters, please listen carefully. You were not fasting because you were on your period. You're on your period, and let's say it's the first of Ramadan, you're on your period, right? And now it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and all of a sudden your period stops. Now it is wajib to not eat and drink for the rest of the day. It is wajib. Meaning you will be sinful if you eat and drink for the rest of the day, even though that fast of that day is not done anyway. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There's no time to make intention. And possibly you've been eating and drinking before that. But now you have to do imsak. You have to abstain from eating and drinking. If you eat and drink, it's not going to make a kafara necessary on you or anything, but you will be sinful for it. So do you understand the difference in the situation? Inshallah, sisters can ask if there's anything which they don't. Does a nursing woman need to fast? This is very important. Nursing woman, breastfeeding woman. The answer is a breastfeeding woman, if her child is in need of her milk and if she feels that if I don't fast, I'm going to become very weak, there will not be enough of a milk supply, my child's health will be affected, then she does not need to fast in Ramadan. She will just make up for it after Ramadan with qada fasts. Does one have to perform qada fast immediately after Ramadan? No. You can perform it anytime you want. However, it's best to do it as quick as possible so that next Ramadan doesn't come and you've got a pile of qada fast to make up for. I've not fasted all my life. Do I need to give both qada and kafara? Interesting question. I've never fasted. Since the time I became baligh, I never fasted. Do I give qada or do I give kafara? But kafara is only given for... Kafara is only given when you break a fast. Has this person ever broken a fast? No. He never even started a fast, which means that all the days that he missed, he's just going to do qada of all of those days. He doesn't have to do kafara. Fasting on an aeroplane, Hafsa asked about this. You just have to try and assess time zones, asking air hostesses. And if it's too difficult and you know you're going to get it all muddled up, just, you can be exempt. Exempt from fasting very quickly. Sometimes a person has an old person, people always ask me about this. They have a chronic illness, a debilitating illness that they know that they can never fast. The doctor has said it's like cancer or some kind of serious illness that makes them so weak, they don't have any chance of recovery. This person must give fidyah. Fidyah is the amount that you give for sadaqatul fitr. Sadaqatul fitr in Islamic terms, about 1.8 kilograms of wheat or barley or dates or raisins, something like this. But there's a money amount, you can find out. This year the fidya amount is roughly £3.50. The masjid is saying £4, so we can say £4 or £3.50. I like making it easy for people. Because sometimes, unfortunately, a person cannot fast throughout the whole month of Ramadan. Right? And they can't. And people ask me, my mother or my father can't fast throughout the whole month of Ramadan. How much is the fidya? So I just say £3.50 this year. It's okay, it's safe. And it's not too burdening. But if you say £5, £6, imagine people have to give that for every single fast. It's very burdensome. Du'as to recite at iftar time. Look, there's two du'as. finish line. Allahumma laka sumtu wa ala rizqika aftartu. This is one dua, but it's a little bit weaker. There's a stronger dua. Dhahaba al-zama'u wa batallatil 'uruqu wa thabata al-ajru insha'Allah. Many of us only know this first dua. We should learn the second dua, chunka second dua is more sahih, is more authentic. Some scholars have balanced it in this way. Pehli dua jo hai, read that dua before, at the time of breaking your fast, before you break your fast, and read the second dua after you have finished eating and drinking. Both of those duas, second one is more sahih than the first one. Inshallah, we'll stop there. Question and answer, if you have any questions, maybe after namaz you can ask me, it's already very late. Jazakallah khairan, Allah Ta'ala grant us all a very blessed and accepted Ramadan. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح
We can quickly just do four sunnahs and then we'll just do the namaz, inshallah.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والضحى والليل إذا سجى، ما ودعك ربك وما قلى، وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى، ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى، ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى، ووجدك ضالا فهدى، ووجدك عائلا فأغنى، فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر، وأما السائل فلا تنهر، وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألم نشرح لك صدرك، ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك، ورفعنا لك ذكرك، فإن مع العسر يسرا، إن مع العسر يسرا، فإذا فرغت فانصب، وإلى ربك فارغب. الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله اللهم أنت السلام لك السلام تبارك يا ذو الجلال والإكرام اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب وصلى الله وسلم على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.